Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
My name is Heather Choate, and I'm a co-owner and founder here of High Thrive Coaching. So welcome to the podcast. I know we have a lot of new friends here, and excited to join you guys today. So Mark is taking a little bit of a needed break, and it's been a while since I've been on. So I'm excited to connect with you guys again, and I'm really eager to share with you guys a live marriage Q&A today that we're going to be going into all of your marriage questions. Your biggest marriage challenges, especially if your spouse is having an affair or they're checked out or they're wanting a divorce. We specialize in the dire situations, right? So before we get to that, I did want to share with you guys our client win of the day. And this is one that Courtney shared with me last week in our live masterclass. And she said, "My husband has left the other woman and put his wedding rings back on. This has been the hardest but best thing I've ever done. If you're starting to doubt, trust the process. It is a process, but you will get there." So great job, Courtney. This is really, really awesome. I always love it when you kind of hit that mark and they say, "I'm leaving the other person. I'm putting my wedding rings back on. I'm willing to work on this together." That is step three of our path process. And we know that there's step four, so she's not quite done yet, but she's making great, great progress there. All right. Hey, Chad and everyone else joining me live here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. Excited to see you. All right. So I'm going to dive into some of the most common questions that I got when I asked our Thriving Marriage Facebook members, "What are your marriage questions?" And I want to preface this with a little bit of grace on my part, because there's only so much I can do with very limited information, right? And so if you're looking for more specific guidance concerning your marriage challenges and your marriage questions, then of course I encourage you to book a complimentary consultation with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. That way we can go deeper into your specific situation. And then of course, in the coaching, we will get you solutions to exactly what you're going through. So that being said, I'm a little bit limited in how I can answer and how deep I can actually go, because each question is only like a paragraph or two, and that's not enough information, and I never want to guide people incorrectly. So I'm going to give some general overviews that would apply based on the questions that I've been given. And if you guys have a question, if you're watching live, go ahead and put that in the chat. I've got so many questions. No, I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, but I will do my best. All right. So first one comes from Dominique. She has a boyfriend and says it isn't going to last, that it is something she needs to do right now. She says she still loves me. We talk and see each other every day. We work together, and neither of us wants the other totally out of our lives. How can I get her to see that the reasons she left me are no longer there, that I have changed, and that I am the man she tells me she wants to be with?" So I love this question, and there's a couple really great signs here, Dominique. We know that we must have some level of interaction, right? And it's awesome. There's so many people here that I'm sure that are listening that would love to be able to see their spouse every day, to talk every day, you know, work together, and that neither of you wants the other one totally out of their lives. So that's really encouraging. However, if you are in that situation where interaction is limited, you don't see each other very often, and your spouse says, "I'm done, there's nothing you can do, I'm out," that is actually where most of our clients start. So you're not alone if you're feeling that and if you're in that kind of a situation. But what it's telling me about you, Dominique, is that there's some really incredible opportunities that you have to really optimize every single interaction together and make it the most effective possible. What we've discovered here on the, we shared this on the podcast, but Mark and I, we've been working with tens of thousands of students, just like you guys, clients all over the world. And we discovered that there was one thing that we were missing that was a big reason why marriages were ending in divorce. And if we were missing it, so was everyone else, all right? And what we discovered is that we could help someone in your kind of situation, right? In all of our client situations, we would help them open up communication, get that communication to be really respectful, to build empathy, to build understanding, and start to restore some trust, right? And start to build a connection. And that connection would then become a deeper friendship, and you could talk about anything, and you have really a lot of compassion and understanding for each other, a lot of empathy. You even start to want to do things together because it's fun and you feel like friends. And then what would happen is that we would get people to this point and the couple would be able to connect like this. But then the person that wanted out or was having an affair would all of a sudden say, you know, this is great. I'm glad we have this understanding. I'm glad we have this connection, because it's going to be so nice when we co-parent the kids when the divorce goes through. And we would be baffled, like, how could we help our clients get so much progress? And our clients would be like, how could I come this far? And then she still wants a divorce. And so we realized we were missing something. And if we were missing it, so was everyone else. So I say it's something insane because really no one else is talking about it. But we designed the entire PATH process around the idea that is like this, right? Making positive changes alone is not enough, because 99% of the time, in fact, I'd say 100% of the time, because I've never talked to anyone who didn't have this going on, is that our spouse has built up a story about us, right? They've built up a belief that is justifying their reasons in wanting out, their reasons for leaving, right? And so that can look like so many different things. And in fact, here in the Q&A, I see all these different reasons why your spouse says they want out. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with someone else. You just don't change. Or I see that you're changing, but the change is just temporary. And if I come back to you, it'll go back to the way that it was, right? I don't want to be hurt again. I'm done. Maybe it's better for the kids, etc. Right? So we hear all these different stories and these beliefs about us. And what we've discovered is that we must remove those beliefs, those feelings that they have about us, the story that they've created over the past weeks, months, sometimes years about us. We must remove that story or they won't come back. So what you're asking here is really awesome, because you're wanting to know, how do I get her to see that the reasons she left me are no longer there? Like, I've made these changes, right? You said that I have changed and that I am the man she tells me she wants to be with. So making positive change alone is not enough. What we must do, and what we always do here with our clients in the PATH process, is first we start with the root assessment, okay? The root assessment is where we uncover, we like diagnose like a doctor, a specialist, exactly what the root issues are that are causing her to believe this about you, okay? Because the symptom there is the story, I want out. So she's saying Dominique doesn't support me emotionally, or Dominique doesn't do this for me, or Dominique doesn't give me attention, or Dominique doesn't value me, or something, right? I'm just giving some examples, because of course I'd have to do this with you. We'd have to do it with you to uncover exactly what it is, right? And so when she's believing that about you, there's always 4 to 5, usually 4, but sometimes 5 root issues that she's built up that are supporting this belief. Whether it's true or not actually is irrelevant, because it's true for her. And as long as she continues to believe that, our beliefs are so strong and we create them to protect us from pain, right? So it's a defense mechanism. And as long as she's holding on to that, she's going to continue to feel like she needs it to protect her from pain, to protect her from some kind of unpleasantness, right? So we must systematically go in and remove all of those beliefs, or she's not going to come back. So instead of the symptom is, I believe this about you, and so I'm just going to fix this symptom on a surface level, I'm just going to start to make these positive changes, here's what most people do. Like, we get into a lot of action, or we kind of run around like a chicken with our head cut off because we don't know what to do, right? I've been there. I know what that's like. And I talk to so many people, right? And so you're not alone, but it's not effective. And so the worst thing you could do at this stage is assume that you know what to do to fix these problems. You know, assume that making all these like positive changes are going to be enough. Because oftentimes what we hear is like, you need to work on yourself, right? That's the old model. Work on yourself, improve yourself. And I get where that's coming from, because we need to focus on what we can control. We know we cannot control our spouse, so we focus on what we can control. But this whole idea of work on yourself, I mean, raise your hand if you're listening and if you're watching live, if you've been given that advice, right? I was given that advice, and I know that it's this really popular like notion in our culture right now. It's just work on yourself, right? If you work on yourself, then you're doing everything you can do, and then, you know, that's it. So we often would give that advice in the past, like, how are you doing working on yourself? And our clients are saying, I'm doing really good. I'm working out. I'm losing weight. I'm better with the kids. I do the laundry. I'm more present at home. I work less. I stopped the affair. I stopped drinking. I stopped complaining. I meditate. All these wonderful things. And we'd say, good job. How is your marriage? And they'd say, we're still getting a divorce. So the solution is not to work on yourself, because working on yourself, while it's good for you, is not the solution to getting them to notice that these are the real changes that you're making, okay? So the old model says work on yourself, improve yourself, and that takes time. It takes time to create new habits. It creates time to change habits, right? It takes time to really become that person that you may need to be, or that you, your spouse wants you to be, right? And when, even if you make those changes quickly, you're still just hoping that your spouse notices, hoping that it's enough, hoping that everything you're doing is finally going to get through to them, and that they'll let go of that belief about you, and that they'll want to be with you. And the problem is that you're sitting there hoping that your spouse notices, and then it's too late, because it takes too long, because either they don't notice the changes, you know, or they notice and they don't believe that they're real. Okay. So what we need to do instead, what our PATH method does, the new model, is we flip the entire thing on its head. We're going to make our spouse notice right away that there's something different about you. Make them notice. Make them notice that there is something different, and that the changes that you're making are real, and that they can start to let some of that story go. Okay, so what does that look like? Make them notice right away. Oh my goodness, there's something different about Dominique, you know, he took the pressure off. He is acting differently, and I'm curious about what it is. There's something different about him. I'm intrigued. In fact, I'm starting to feel a little attracted to that. I'm not going to admit it, but I am feeling attracted to that, right? And then as we build on that, then there's that connection. I'm starting to feel connected. I'm starting to feel safe. He's showing me he's very open and understanding of me. I feel like I can actually talk to him about these things. And those root issues, then we go in and immediately start to meet those and heal those root issues going on, so that then they can let that defense mechanism go. So then 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, whatever it looks like for you in your situation, they want to be with you, right? They want to be with you, they see themselves happy with you, and they start to open up their heart and fall in love with you again. And then as you're now working together on this, now you have time to make those positive changes, to work on yourself and improve yourself. So hope that makes sense, but we need to flip the entire thing on its head, because what we don't want to do is just hope and wish and pray that the positive changes that you're making are enough and that she will notice. What we want to do is make her notice right away. And so that is what the PATH method is designed to do. And how do we do that? Well, we have to go deeper into the whole process, right? We do that root assessment so we know what needs to be changed, instead of guessing or assuming that we know what needs to be changed, right? And how do we do that? We do that with an expert that knows how to diagnose the full situation. So many people get into the mistake of thinking, I'll just go to my general doctor, right? I'll just go to a therapist. Now, when I had cancer and I noticed a lump in my breast, right? If I had gone to a general doctor, would that have worked out well? Right? If I had assumed that I could fix it myself, I'm like, oh no, I've got this. I know what I need to do. I could just do these things, and I've got this cancer lump, so I'm just going to do surgery on myself and I'm just going to cut it out. I'm just going to get rid of it. Would that have fixed the problem? No. So what we need to do is go to experts that know how to accurately diagnose a situation and prescribe the right solution for us, the right treatment plan, right? So that's where we need to start. And then when we know it needs to be changed, then we make her notice right away that there's something different about you. And I'll go in probably deeper into that in one of these other questions, but that is the process in a nutshell. If you're unfamiliar with the PATH process, I really encourage you to check out one of our masterclasses and encourage you to listen to some of the other podcasts that go over the entire process. But it's important that even in, you know, this answer here, that you have that foundation of what needs to happen. So that then as you're working on making those changes at a root level, she'll see, wow, Dominique has changed. Wow, he does now meet my need, insert whatever it is. He meets my need for significance. He meets my need for giving me attention. He meets my need for emotional connection. He meets my need sexually. He meets my need, you know, for physical touch, right? Whatever those core needs are in the root level that she feels like you aren't doing at this time, which is why she needs to go to a boyfriend, even though she knows it isn't going to last, right? There's something going on there. There's a reason why she's doing that. But when you start to meet those needs and she says, oh, wow, Dominique is the man for me and there is no one else. And I have eyes only for him. I have a heart only for him. I am madly, deeply, truly in love with Dominique and I crave him and I want to be with him forever. And you have the happy, thriving marriage, okay? And then it isn't just showing her with words or actions that you are the man that she wants to be with. She actually sees that herself, that we just turn on the flip, like we switch the flip, and now she is being pulled toward you. So what you don't want to do, this is an important preface here, right? And what we don't want to do is we don't want to push her, because every time you try to push her, she's only going to push her further away. And anytime you act out of fear, desperation, pleading, begging, that does not feel safe. Even if you think you're doing the right things, like bringing her flowers, going on dates, sending her 15 text messages a day, if you're still doing it from a state of fear, she will sense it. And it will not feel safe to her. So she will pull further away. So what we don't want to do is push her further away. We want to pull her towards you. No, we'll go into how to do that, right? You pull her towards you by taking the pressure off and by increasing understanding, showing her that there that you are a safe space. Right now, she's doing a bit of, you know, this back and forth. Sometimes they call it the teeter-totter effect, right? I want to be with you, but I've got this boyfriend. I need to do this right now with this other man, you know, all these things, right? I still love you. I want to have you in my life, right? But she's not fully seeing that these changes that you're making are working and that they're what she wants, right? And so you're going to continue in this cat and mouse game, right? So imagine that you're the cat and she's the mouse, right? Kind of like in dating, you're pursuing her, she's running away, except now it's a lot less fun. And then when you're dating, right, the stakes are a lot higher and it's not very fun. I agree. So you're the cat, she's the mouse, you're pursuing her, she's running away. And all of a sudden what you do when you take the pressure off, you take a big step back and you say, you know what? I'm actually okay no matter what happens. I'm okay whether this marriage stays, you know, stays together or not. And so what happens for you is you feel immediate relief because now you're like, whew, I took the pressure off of me. I took the pressure off of her. I took the pressure off the marriage. So you feel immediate relief, which is what the whole path process is designed to do, is get you immediate relief and the love that you crave as fast as humanly possible. So you feel relief because you're like, I'm actually okay. I've learned how to process through my emotions, which we show you exactly how to do that. In, you know, the exact words to say, the exact way to process through your emotions to help you get there, to help you feel centered and empowered, have clarity and exact direction on what you need to do. So now you're here and you're like, I'm okay, and I'm going to take the pressure off. So you take a big step back. And what happens, the dynamic in the marriage, is that now she starts to take steps towards you. She notices. She's like, whoa, he was chasing me and I felt pursued. And now all of a sudden he took a big step back. Something's different. And it's fascinating because at this stage, she starts to take steps towards you. Okay. Especially when she's already saying, I don't want you out of my life. I'm not completely done. But even if they're saying that, it still works. I've seen it so many times. It's incredible. So she starts to take steps towards you. Something's different about Dominique. Wow. Now he's really understanding me with no agenda, no pressure. There's no manipulation at all, right? It's just genuine care and understanding. That makes me feel safe. And I can start to take more steps towards him. And I can start to feel attracted by him. So that intrigue, that curiosity about something's different evolves into this attraction. And that evolves then into deeper connection. then they're not done yet. I'm going to go into the next last little bit later because there's a question about that. So we're not done yet, but that is the beginning of the process. So instead of making the crucial mistake and getting into a bunch of action, making all these changes and thinking and hoping and praying and wishing and, you know, just desperately wanting your spouse to notice, instead we need to make them notice right away. Instead of pushing them to work on their marriage, we want to pull them towards us by creating safety and taking the pressure off. That is how she will see that you have changed and that you are the man she wants to be with. Cool? All right, Dominique, let me know if you have any more questions about that as well as anyone else watching live. All right, cool. So John, I see your question here as you're watching live. Thanks for joining me. Let me know, actually that's more of a situation. So let me know if you have a question. And Dana, I see yours too. I'll try to get to that one in a minute. All right. Cool. Now I'm going to go to Thomas. How do I get my wife to talk to me? I haven't reached out because I'm afraid and to notice the changes I'm making. So see a similar theme. That's why I had to go deeper into this first question, right? So Thomas, how do I get my wife to talk to me? I haven't reached out because I'm afraid. So what happens at the very beginning when your spouse says, I want out, I'm done, I'm having an affair, I don't want to work on the marriage, right? We get into that instinctual fight, flight, or freeze response, right? So we either start trying to demand that they work on the marriage, we start trying to manipulate them to work on the marriage, we start begging and pleading them to work on the marriage, acting out of desperation, and sometimes we freeze, the fight, flight, or freeze response. You said, I haven't reached out because I'm afraid. And so we end up doing nothing, or we end up trying to pull back because we want to protect ourselves. But what happens is your spouse pulls further away. They slip further away from you. Okay, because you aren't filling in anything that would draw them to you, right? Inaction is just as bad as really ineffective action because it's just going to lead to them wanting to leave, right? So how do I get my wife to talk to me? So the first thing, again, we need to do that root assessment. It's crucial you don't skip that step. If you do, you're left guessing, right? You want her as well to notice the changes that you're making. So it's vital that you fully diagnose the situation and you get the right prescription for you in your exact situation, okay? Then that goes to step two, which answers your question a little more specifically. How do I get my wife to talk to me? So remember that there's going to be some things that are ineffective, including doing nothing. I haven't reached out because I'm afraid. So I honor you and I recognize that there is fear there. Inaction is only going to lead to really bad results for you that you don't want. Agreed? So how do I get my wife to talk to me? First thing is you have to take pressure off, right? I just talked about that. Take the pressure off of you. Take the pressure off of her. Take the pressure off the marriage and get to a place where I'm okay no matter what. And I feel like when we get into a lot of fear and freezing, when we're in freezing mode especially, it's really important that you step into empowerment and that you step into a sense of calmness about the situation. And we teach you how to do that. It's not something that we're taught. We aren't taught how to handle these things. We aren't taught how to open up communication. We aren't taught what to do when they say I'm done, right? When they're giving you the silent treatment, when they won't open up. We're not taught that. We're not taught what to do when we are in so much fear you don't know how to process things. We aren't taught what to do when you're in so much fear that then you lash out. We're not taught what to do when you're in so much anger that then you know, create a lot of manipulation or whatever happens, right? So we need to learn these things. And that's what we help you do. We teach emotional processing techniques that only take literally 3 seconds or less because we have to have them in the moment. It's not like we have hours of meditation we can do to get to a Zen place to then handle our lives. Although I love meditation, but we need instant things that we can do to turn that around. What happens when you're in fear mode, Thomas, is that you're activating your limbic system. That's the fight, flight, or freeze response. And then you literally turn off most of the blood flow to the reasoning part of your brain. So what we want to do is shift that. We get out of the instinctual response and help you to get to a calm, centered, and fully reasoning part of yourself, okay? And then from there, we'll show you exactly what to say, what to text her, how to get her to open up. Anyone who's ever had our conversation starters training, you know how powerful that is. Those are exactly like word by word, exactly what you can tell to her, you know, say to her, what you can text her, what you can do in front of her to make her notice that you're changing and make her notice that she feels safe to open up and communicate with you about some of these things. Okay. So handling that fear monster is going to be really, really important. And not only will you feel incredibly centered and incredibly empowered, but she will notice the differences as well. All right. So going through that you definitely need to pay attention to step two. In the entire PATH process, I just want to give like a high level overview here, right? We take you exactly where you are and we go through different checkpoints. We say, is there communication? Yes or no? Yes, there is, but it's surface level. Okay, go here. No, there is no communication because there's too much fear. There's too much resistance. Maybe there's not a lot of opportunity to interact. Okay, we know what we need to do. We need to optimize every single opportunity that you have to communicate so it's the most effective possible. And that will then increase future opportunities to communicate and connect and then go to the next stage. So we take you through these different checkpoints, right? And we say, okay, now we've got communication open. Now we need to make it, you know, shift it from negative communication to neutral communication. And so here's how we're going to do that. And then now, okay, now we've got neutral communication. Is there trust? Yes or no? Yes, there is trust. We need to go further into building connection. No, there isn't trust. Okay, cool. Now we're going to go here and start to, you know, to rebuild some of that trust day by day, baby step by baby step. So as we go with you through this process, we make sure that you pass every single checkpoint in order, because these problems must be solved in order. Okay. All right. Let's go to Sarah's question. We are in some final stages of separation. Of course, I'm stalling as much as I can. There is an affair happening. I haven't given up yet. I've registered for PATH and had my first call this morning, one-on-one call. My coach is amazing, by the way, she said. What are some signs that I will notice that he's starting to pay attention? I love this because you understand the PATH process. You know that we need to make them grab their attention right away, make them notice, right? So what are some signs that I will notice that he's starting to pay attention? I understand that this is not overnight and will take time as the demise of our marriage did also. But is there a way to notice the signs are positive? He may be regretting his decision rather than he's just happy I'm not asking to work on us anymore. Okay. So I love this because it shows that you're a really good student and that you're really learning how this PATH process works, right, Sarah? So what's really cool here is that he is happy that you're not asking to work on us anymore, which says something amazing about you is that you've taken the pressure off. You're getting this. So good job. So he's happy that you're not asking to work on us anymore. That is the first checkpoint that we actually want to see, which means you are passing it already. So I want you to understand the wins here. Now, as you get communication open and as you start to work on these things, another sign that we need to see at step two is that we need to see some of the ugly communication. Okay, I know it's kind of weird, but if you aren't seeing some of the ugly communication, then you haven't passed that checkpoint yet. So I know that you're looking for positive signs, but what's interesting is that right away, like one of our first positive signs is that whatever they've been resisting sharing with you, they're going to start to share it and it's going to be ugly. Okay. The goal at the beginning isn't actually positive communication. It's actually just to get communication open. So in every single situation, whether your friends, you know, you have, you know, connection as friends, but no romance, whether you can talk about surface level things, it's business-like, but they won't go deep, or whether it's very volatile type of communication, you know, it's just angry and explosive, or whether it's very closed off, stonewalling, you know, not wanting to talk about hardly anything. All of those are indicative that there are things that they are resistant to letting you see, right? It's kind of like they've got this really ugly wound. And this is a gross analogy, but I like this one. I think it works. My husband actually shared it with me, so I like it. But it's like they've got this really bad wound and it's scabbed over, but you can see that underneath the surface, it's just festering and it's ugly and it's infected and it looks really, really bad. But they won't let you see what's going on under the surface. They've got some resistance there. They don't want you to know what they're feeling, why they're feeling this, and you know what's going on there. So the first step is that we actually kind of like lance that wound so it can drain and we can get all the yuck out. All right, so that's what we actually need to do here. And you let me know if you're seeing that happen, because you may be, and I can't tell from, you know, this little bit of a time here, this little bit of a question, but maybe you are seeing this. But I want everyone else to know that if they're happy that you're not pushing for the marriage anymore, that's a good sign, but we need to take it a step further. And the next sign is actually lancing the wound and getting the gunk out. All right, so we can get all that yuck out so the wound can heal. So what we need to do is go through those communication techniques that we teach in PATH so that they feel safe enough to get the gunk out. And it kind of feels like emotionally vomiting all over you. And like I said, it's not fun. It's not positive, but it's actually a sign of progress. Because now they're finally letting you see all the things that they've built up about you, all of the hurts that they feel like they have, all their justifications, all of their wounds, right? And it's not fun to hear those things. It's not, but it's part of the process. And so knowing that, then it's a good sign. It's another positive sign. So that's another sign. Now, after we get the gunk out and we have all this negative, really ugly, and oftentimes very hurtful communication going, that's how we uncover what those root issues are that are causing this to happen in the first place. And from there, then we want to shift that communication from really ugly communication to neutral communication, okay? So the signs that you'll see at this stage, which is stage three, is that they will start to give you the time of day. There's not going to be any more stonewalling. So if your spouse, if your husband in this case, Sarah, is really opening up about some things and it's not so ugly, but there's more understanding, there's more empathy, and you're even able to talk about some really hard things or things you haven't talked about in years, or maybe things you never were able to talk about, that is another really positive sign. So we shift that negative communication to neutral communication. We have understanding, we have respect, we have empathy, we have healthy boundaries if needed, okay? Oftentimes healthy boundaries need to come in here if there's affairs, broken trust, those kind of things. So that is exactly some signs that you'll see at that stage. And what happens here in the third stage is that then they want to talk to you about anything, and you're able to talk really openly and really respectfully and actually really build some connection. Our clients love this stage. Like oftentimes their spouse wants to spend time with them. They stop talking about divorce themselves or separation. We often see they want to go on dates again. Sometimes they even move back home, or you move back home. Sometimes we see wedding rings put back on, and sometimes we see, you know, talks of renewing wedding vows, or they leave the affair partner, etc. So these are going to be step by step. Remember the checkpoints? Every single checkpoint, making sure we pass every single one so that we can fully remove their story and they want to come back to you. So in a nutshell, to answer your question, it's good that he's seeing that, you know, that you aren't asking to work on us anymore, that you're taking the, you know, you took the pressure off. He's noticing, which means you're doing it right. So good job. All right. So he's like, oh my goodness, wow, there's something different about Sarah. I'm so relieved she's no longer pushing for this. Right. And then as we continue to work on taking the pressure off and increasing understanding, that will further show him, wow, there's something different about Sarah. I'm intrigued about what it is. I'm curious about what it is. And then we get to that deeper level communication. We lance the wound, right? We get all the gunk out. So we see the evidence that he's starting to let it out, everything that he's been, you know, not sharing with you before, he's now sharing with you, even though it's not fun, even though it's hurtful, right? And then we go from there into healing that wound, healing those deeper root issues so that he wants to come back, so that he sees the possibility of being happy with you again. And again, here at stage three, we definitely need to put in some healthy boundaries as far as the affair that is happening, okay? Because that has to happen for you both to heal. So step by step, you will see the signs of progress. And they often look I'm not going to say negative, but they can be perceived as really negative or hard to go through. But you have to understand they're just steps. They're part of the healing process. When you have a major injury in your body, you have to go through therapy and you have to go through surgery and you have to go through rehab and you have to go through this treatment. And I can speak to that, right? I went through 2.5 years of cancer treatment. No, not. Yeah, about 2.5 years. Yeah. And so I know what that's like, right? But you have to go through this really challenging healing process to get there. But knowing that even when you have to get surgery and it's painful to recover from that, and you have to go through therapy and that's painful to recover from that, right? And to go through that, it all are signs of healing and growth. And that's why we're here as your coaches to show you it's just another step in the process. Keep going because you are heading in the right direction. Okay, cool. All right, I'm gonna go over, see if I got any live questions here. All right. How do we pull when every other communication devolves into her wanting to discuss the details of the separation agreement? Right. So right there, Mike, I appreciate that question. Right there, it's about building understanding for her and why she wants to go into that, right? And so there's some questions that you could ask. You could say, like, okay, let me give you an example of how this sounds like. Okay, Mike. So she says every time, you try to communicate, you try to just pull instead of push, right? Just with no pressure, no agenda, no manipulation, right? So what happens is that every time you do that, she just wants to discuss the details of the separation. Nope, I'm not going there. Let's talk about separation. I'm doing this. This is my defense mechanism, right? So how this would sound like, and you guys feel this just for a minute. I'll give you an example and you tell me what it feels like. You really pay attention to how this feels. When you are doing it without pressure and with absolute understanding, it feels different. Okay, so here's the example. All right, so you would say, I imagine that this has been really hard for you. I can imagine that you are going through a lot. I understand you want to talk about the separation, and I appreciate that. I can understand that that's where you feel like you need to go. I really want to understand where you're coming from, and I genuinely care about you. Whether this marriage works or not, whether we stay together or not, I want to understand you and I want you to be happy because I care about you. And I want to become a better person myself. No matter what happens, I want to be a better version of myself. I want to become someone who actually understands others and has respect for others and has empathy for others. Is that something you can help me with? How does that feel? Does it feel safe? Does it feel inviting? Right? And does it increase understanding? So instead of giving resistance about that she always wants to talk about separation, you use that, not use it. That sounds like a manipulation, but I'm saying you take advantage of that. That's still wrong. You meet her where she's at and you show her that I am wanting to understand you exactly where you are. So that what I'm trying to say, it's an opportunity. That's the word. It's an opportunity to build some understanding and increase some empathy. And again, to take the pressure off and show her that you just genuinely care and you're wanting to become a better person yourself. And then that is how we kindly, gently lance the wound. She'll feel safe. She'll be like, wow, Mike is really genuinely caring about me and understanding me. And I don't feel the pressure that I felt before at all. And so she'll share and start to open up. And that's going to be a process and it's going to be step by step. And sometimes it's going to take several times of doing that before she's finally like, oh, wow, there is something different about Mike. I'm realizing, yeah, I can let him know about this. Okay. At the end of the day, we all crave understanding. We all crave feeling like someone gets us and that they just are there to understand us. It feels amazing when someone understands you, right? Just genuinely understands where you're coming from. We crave that as human beings. It's one of the six human emotional needs. And so when you give that to them, then they recognize, oh, wow, they are a safe place for me. I can open up more about this. And I do feel like there is no pressure anymore. So that makes it even safer and I can open up even more. Okay. All right. So many great questions. Jill, I see yours. Mina, I think. Dana. Awesome. Vega says, this gives me hope. Awesome. Cool. But it's not just about hope. I want you to understand. It's about a plan. It's about a proven step-by-step plan that helps you go from where you are to the destination that you really want to be. At the end of the day, We help you choose where you want to go, and we help you make those tiny course corrections here a little bit, there a little bit to get you there. So hope is great. Like, we need to have belief and we need to know what we want. If we aren't willing to fight for what we want, who will? If we aren't willing to overcome our own fears, who will? No one will. No one is going to fight for what you want and what you know you deserve and what you are going for in this beautiful life, right? The awesome, incredible marriage, right? If you don't fight for that, who will? No one will. So you know where you want to go and we will help you get there. Okay. All right. There's so many questions. Maybe we should do a part two of this. I hope that this is helpful. I know it's a little bit weird not having like a normal podcast structure, but I feel like it's really helpful to get into your guys' exact situations and give you guys some solutions there. All right. I'm going to try to go through one or two more of these. There's so many. It's awesome. If I am not able to answer your question, especially those watching live, then please just personally message me here on Facebook. Just Heather Choate here in the Thriving Marriage group. And I love to be able to get you some solutions there because it's hard for me when I'm not able to help everyone. All right. So David asks, how do I get out of the friend zone? We're separated and living in the same house with kids. So you're separated, but living in the same house. Okay. I don't really understand that, but I guess you're like living in different parts of the house. I'm going to assume. We go shopping together and do stuff with kids together. I don't know if there's someone else. Should I try to find out? I don't know how long I should stay in this status. Okay. So what I appreciate about this question, David, is that you're in the friend zone. Okay. But there's obviously a lot more going on than just friends, right? You're wondering if there's someone else in the picture. You're wondering how long you should stay there. Okay. First, I want to address the friend zone piece. Okay. Because we talked about the first three steps today, but I did not get to go into the fourth step. At step three is when you're like, you're in stage three, you do build a really incredible connection. You're friends. You can talk about anything. You do things together. Like you go shopping, you do stuff with the kids. They're not talking about separation and divorce all the time. And you know, oftentimes they'll leave the affair partner. They'll start to go on dates with you, all these things. And you're like, we've made so much progress. When you're in the friend zone and you have connection and you have respect even, and you're working to build understanding and empathy, I feel like that's probably needed still here in this situation. David, I feel like you're not quite at stage three, but you're showing some signs of stage three. So you haven't crossed all those checkpoints. So again, we need to work with you and uncover exactly which ones have been missed. But when you're in the stage three, you think we've made all this progress. We have this great connection. And people, most people, make a really crucial mistake in this stage. And they think that they're done. And you obviously know that you're not done, but I'm saying a lot of people here think that they're done because we went from they want completely out, they don't want to work on this at all, they want a divorce, and that's it, right? To now we're actually friends and we actually are connecting and we have this beautiful connection and understanding and respectfulness in our relationship. And so to them, that's a huge amount of progress. And they think that they're done, but you're not done yet. And so most people think they're done and then they end up pushing in this stage or something happens and they're not prepared for the final stage. The final stage is stage four, and that's where we have to systematically remove all of their limiting beliefs, all of their root issues, the reasons why they believe that they want out, right? All their story. You have to completely systematically remove all the root issues causing them to believe that story about you, okay? And if we don't, what happens here? And even if we have removed most of them, there's always going to be one or two more that come out at this stage. And they're going to test you with that. And they're going to say, you know, this is great. I'm glad we're friends. But guess what? I'm in love with someone else. I am having an affair and I want out. Or they'll say, you know, I love you and I'm glad that we are so respectful and connecting, but I'm not in love with you. There's just no passion. There's just no romance. So what do? Oftentimes our clients think that's it. It's over for me. I've done all this work. We've come so far. We're friends now. We have this connection and she still wants out. It's over. There's nothing more I could possibly do. It didn't work for me. I messed it up. It's done. She wants out. There's nothing I can do, right? And what happens is that you're not done yet. It's just another part of the process. So what we need to do is understand at this stage, your spouse is normally going to give you a test to see if you're for real, to see if they can let their story fully go about you, okay? And as you pass that test, in fact, we've identified there's about 12 tests most spouses put you through before they finally change their belief about you. And we will show you how to pass all of them. In fact, we've been doing this so long that we'll preemptively know which ones your spouse will throw at you because of the root assessment. We'll help you preemptively be able to exactly know how to pass that test and prepare for it when it comes up. Okay? So I don't feel like, David, though, that you are here at stage three. I just wanted to give kind of an overview because that covered a couple of the other people's questions that they're like, we're getting along. We don't have much romance, or we're not very intimate. And I want to know what to do next. Or all of a sudden we made all this progress and then boom, they threw their story back in my face and I feel like it's over, right? So I want you to know it's not over. We just have to pass that final test so they let their story go and see the possibility of being happy with you again. They drop the story completely and it's gone forever because we've cleared it, we've healed it at a root level. So for you, David, the whole idea, if there's someone else you're wondering, should I try to find out? Here's the bottom line, is that it's crucial that you work with a coach, because going to her and trying to dig, like go around behind her back and trying to find things out, it's not going to heal your relationship right now, okay? But what must happen is that if there are doubts about trust and there's some mistrust brewing, that needs to be healed. But the problem is most people go around it in a way that's like secretive, or they're trying to like be a detective and uncover all of it and then like throw it at their spouse. And is that ever going to heal it? Is that ever going to make your spouse want to come to you? Even if that is what's going on, I'm not saying that we justify and let them do that behavior. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we do it in the right way. Okay. Because we need to decide all the time, like ask yourself all the time, is this going to push her away from me, or is it going to pull her towards me? Is this going to help my relationship, or is it going to hurt my relationship? Okay. And oftentimes, if it's going to hurt you, then yes, it is going to hurt the relationship, but we still need to do it in the right way. And so the right way, I feel like I'm going down a big rabbit hole here, and a lot of people could misunderstand this. So I'm not saying we ever allow our spouse to, you know, have an affair and break our trust and just deal with that. No, what we need to do is we do it in the right way. So if you're wondering if she's seeing someone else, then we know here going through the checkpoints, okay, is there trust? No, there's not. But you would have already passed the other stages. So we have to pass those other stages first to be able to get to the place where then we can address this under, you know, is there broken trust? Is there an affair or not? Okay. And before we even do that, we have to do the root assessment and uncover all the reasons why she wants out and start to heal some of those things and build that connection, open up the communication deeper so that you do get out of the friend zone. So basically go back to the beginning, go back to the entire path process and go through it step by step. And then you will know, and your coach will let you know exactly when is the right time to address the if there's someone else issue. Okay. So that you do it in a way that actually heals the marriage, actually increases understanding, increases the connection instead of hurts it. It will be painful for both sides, especially if that is happening, but we can do it in a way that is actually going to heal those things instead of backfire and make them worse and backfire and cause more and more pain and backfire and actually not build the respect and the healthy boundaries and all of those things that need to happen for the relationship to fully heal. Okay. So this last question here, it's going to have to be my last one. Bummer. I'm sad. Okay. your last question here, though, I don't know how long I should stay in this status. So, my friends, how long do you want to stay in that status? This is one of those questions that we get oftentimes that only you can answer. So you need to determine, where do I really want to be in my marriage? Where do I want my marriage to be 3 months from now? Where do I want my marriage to be 3 months from now? Like, have you asked yourself that question? So staying in this status is not healthy for you. It's not happy for you. It's not healthy for your marriage. It's not healthy for your kids that are living in the home with you. It's not. So should you stay in the status? No, it's not healthy, but only you can decide that for yourself. Do you want to stay there? I'm guessing not. But a lot of times people choose to continue to do that. They choose by default because they don't know what to do, or they don't know how to fix it, or they get into freeze mode, that then they stay there. Right? And so that's up to you. How long should you stay in this status? I would say not at all, because you can turn things around so much quickly. quickly. And day by day, you can say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. You work with the coach to know exactly how to pull you from where you are right now to checking the next milestone, checking the next milestone, checking the next milestone. And then you're not staying in that status anymore. You're making progress day by day, little by little. And then you'll be like Sarah here asking, what are the signs of, you know, our progress, and knowing that we are making progress and recognizing the signs there and saying, oh, wow, we actually are making progress. And we're not just friends anymore. I'm not worried about if she's having an affair anymore. And we're safe and we're secure and we're happy. So you decide where you want to go. Where do you want to be 3 months from now? Determine that destination. When you do that, you've made a powerful, powerful decision in your life. And when you make that kind of level decision, because I believe, in fact, I know that there is a deeper part inside each of us that knows truth, that says, I must do this because it's meant for me to do in my life. I must go on this journey, even though everyone else tells me it's impossible. I must do everything I can for my marriage because I don't want to live with regret that I didn't give it my all. Whether it works or not, I know that if I know that at the end of my life, if I didn't give it my all, I would regret that forever. And no matter what pain you're in, the pain of being in the friend zone, the pain of them having an affair, the pain of them wanting out, the pain of not being able to communicate, the fear and the pain of everything that you're in right now, no matter what your situation is, that pain that you're in right now is nothing compared to the pain of regret. The greatest pain any of us will ever feel is the regret that I didn't do what I could have done when I had the opportunity. I didn't do it. I could have done something and I didn't. I let my fear overcome me. I let circumstances take me away. I was distracted, right? I let my own voice, my own, you know, fear devil in my own mind, you know, take me away from what I really wanted to do. I self-sabotaged, or I just gave up because it felt like it was easier. But now you have to live with the pain of regret that you didn't do what you could have done when you had the opportunity. That is the greatest pain any of us will ever feel. That is not what I want for you. That's not what I want for anyone. It's only your choice, though. You decide. I am going to do this because I know that I don't want to live my life with regret. I know that I don't want to live knowing that I didn't give it my all. Something told me I needed to do this. Something told me that this is what was meant for me to do. I felt that call. I felt that pull in my heart. I love this person and I must see this through. I must give it everything I have. And no matter what happens, I know that I will always be at peace with that decision. That is the most powerful thing you can ever do. I was given a 5% chance of living to this day. I was told by doctors, you need to abort your baby to save your life. And something inside me said, no, that is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to save my baby because I believe life is precious. And I'm going to save my baby even if it doesn't end well for me because I can't live my life any other way. And I had to live true to that. I had to tune out all the other voices and say, this is the course for me. I understand it's not the path for everyone, and that's okay. I'm not trying to say this is the path for everyone, but I know that it is the path for me. And when you listen to that voice that is pulling you, come this way, come this way, come this way, you have peace and you become like a rock in a storm that cannot be moved. You might be in the worst hellish storm of your life, but you're okay because you know that this isn't easy, but I'm doing what I need to do. And that's enough. That's enough. I'm doing what I need to do because I'm who I'm meant to be and I'm becoming a little better every single day. So, on that note, I hope that this has been helpful for you. I really encourage you all to reach out to me again if you have more questions, because I would love to help you get some clarity on that and get direction. It is a process, but life is really short. It's a beautiful, beautiful journey. So I encourage all of us to make the most of it now. All right. So next week, how about we do a part two? We were going to go into healthy boundaries during an affair. But I think that there's just so many awesome questions here. I'd love to do a part two with you guys if you would love that. So let me know here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group if you'd love to do part two. But I'm thinking we will. That's the cool part of being in charge of the podcast. Me and Mark, of course. And Mark may be on with me next week. So awesome. We will do part two next week. And I appreciate and honor each of you. I know that life is a beautiful gift. And so we all have the opportunity every day to become a little better, and that is enough. My heart and my love, my appreciation goes out to you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.